Hello and welcome to the final E3 2016 ScotchCast special. I'm your host, Sulkerfest Cynic, and joining me today is Just Durin. What's up, Durin?
And that was E3.
Damn. Wow, that's a callback. I haven't heard that one for a while. Holy shit. Oh, man. No, it's been a really good E3. Like, it started
this
really
weak. Like, it's weird because, like, going into this E3, like, not only was there a lot of talk about, like, whether E3 mattered, like, what kind of show this was going to be, and all of that, but, like, it seemed like as it got closer, things got a little more interesting and a little more interesting, and then somehow this became a hardware E3.
Yeah, pretty much. There was definitely, like, a lot of hardware news to come out of it, and then, I think Sony really brought it. Like, I can't stress that enough. If it wasn't for them, I think I would have been pretty disappointed with this E3.
I don't know. I mean,
actually, Nintendo. Nintendo was great too.
Nintendo was great. Sony was great, and
Microsoft was not bad.
Bethesda wasn't terrible.
True. Actually, yeah. You know what?
EA was so bad, it made you feel like E3 was terrible.
Exactly. EA was so bad, you were like, oh shit, were they right? Is E3 just fucking gone now? Is this what we're gonna get? Everyone was pretty decent. Everyone had highlights. So the structure of the show for people at home, we don't have much time here. A lot of shit's going on. I have to go across the state at the moment. Apparently people are vacuuming outside, so I'm gonna have to edit that out. But the main thing is, this is going to be like an hour long. We're just going to do our absolute highlights from the show, like high level. We've already talked about everything. So we're just going to say out loud what our highlights were at the end. Before there, we're going to get to a bit of news. And before all of that, Durin, as the true resident Zelda expert, I need your input.
You said resident. I thought you were going a whole different direction.
I need your because I had to see it was me and Squiddle before we talked about Zelda, and I of course know nothing about Zelda. And right. Squiddle is like he had some high level thoughts, but he hadn't had a chance to see all the stuff they'd shown. I think Zelda is easily but for most people, it'd be like one of the biggest games of this E3.
So it's funny that you say like that you preface that by saying that you know like very little about Zelda, because I feel like with what they showed of this game, you don't need to know shit about Zelda.
Right. Yeah.
Like just some highlights here. Like there's voice acting.
There's a little bit of voice acting.
There's more voice than there has been in a Zelda game. Period.
Really? Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, before this, it was, hey, listen.
Now at least they go, oh, maybe you should go with this direction. Like, whatever she says.
Yeah, like, there's actually dialogue happening somewhere, even if it's narration.
Yeah, baby steps.
There's English happening. Link talks, not vocally, but, like, there are dialogue choices that Link makes.
So is that not a thing? Like, I thought that was always...
Link has always been a silent protagonist. Always.
He'll
do facial reactions, and his, sounds. Yeah. But like,
can we get that again just for the people at home?
No, that was a one-off. Those one-time okay, thing. If you right. missed it, then come back for E3 2017, and maybe you'll.
But I thought I was going to have to issue a correction for last week. So I had this big segment about how I want more voice acting in this than what they're giving me, but I still want, like, I recognize that Link has always been a silent protagonist, because then when I went back and watched the footage I'd just seen, because I watched like 6 hours of Zelda stuff, I'd forgotten, like, wait, no, that's not what a silent protagonist is. A silent protagonist doesn't actually participate in dialogue choices. So it's like a weird thing where they're giving Link a real voice, but they're not voice acting him. They're doing a half step. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I was real bummed when during the demo they showed he walked up to the first NPC and it was just text, silent dialogue.
Yeah,
it's like, man, come on, Nintendo. Especially after like you start off the thing with voice, and you're like, oh man,
goddamn mind. Like it was just me and Squiddle on Skype. So, I was freaking the fuck out. I was like, no way, they're doing it. And no, not really.
Well, what I'm hoping is, and granted, I didn't watch the whole 6 hours or whatever it was, and I'm not going to. And honestly, they didn't show a lot in terms of story anyway.
No, you can probably catch quick hits on for 20 minutes.
Yeah. But what I'm curious about is maybe if it's one of those games where for like Joe Schmo NPC out there, you know, 90% of the NPCs in the game, there's no voice. It's just dialogue. But maybe for like the strong story beats or during cutscenes, like maybe there is going to be actual dialogue.
I wouldn't be surprised. That would make sense to me. That's how, like,
I'd be okay with that. That's, you know, again, baby steps.
Yeah, that's how early JRPGs before, like, Final Fantasy X kind of did it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and even some of them still are.
Yeah.
So that would totally be fine. But yeah, like, Link participates in dialogue now. There's some form of crafting. There's armor. Mm-hmm. There's weapon degradation. Like, every feature that you saw in that 6-hour demo probably didn't exist in Zelda before.
It's kind of crazy because on the one hand, it's like, oh yeah, cool. For me, as a person who doesn't like Zelda, that was like, oh cool, Nintendo's making a modern video game. But for people who are like are massive fans of Zelda, they're like, oh my god, this is amazing! Nintendo's changed the game. They're like, I'm sitting here going, what are you talking about? Have you played any game on any other platform for
the
last time?
See, here's the thing though, is that when you drink the Nintendo Kool-Aid, then every small design decision, like modernization of their games,
yeah,
is just like a fucking tidal wave with the fans, because it's like, you know, these games have been the same way for fucking 25 years,
yeah,
and they make this one change and suddenly it's like, oh my, like, fucking lose your goddamn mind. Nintendo is doing something crazy with Zelda.
for me this is just like, this is making me excited about this game because it's now finally close to being a modern game. I don't know.
Like, think about it. Like, the last time they did something crazy with Zelda, they made it 3D.
I was shocked when he said he can jump now as if it was a feature.
Yeah, there's a jump button. Granted, it's like on the opposite side as the run button, so like a run jump is impossible without doing some kind of claw hand maneuver thing.
Oh, man.
But again, baby steps.
Anyway, so yeah, I've had my like 1 hour and 15 minute talk about Zelda. I need your impression. What are your thoughts on this Zelda?
I'm super excited about it. It's like I said, like, everything they showed is like something that was not in a Zelda game before. So like, I joke about there being baby steps, but really with all of the changes they're making to this game, like, each one individually maybe is not that big a deal, and like millions of other games at this point have done them. But for them to implement so many new features into one game, into like one game at one time, is like bold.
Right. Yes.
And seem to be implemented well in pretty much every way, with some exceptions here and there.
Yeah. Like, I think I had like a list of like 15, 20 things that I was like, okay, these are some negatives of what you're doing, but a lot of them can be sorted out. And more importantly, like, they're outweighed, in my opinion, by the positive and interesting changes they've made to Zelda. Did you get a chance to see any of like the dungeon stuff?
No, I actually completely missed any of the dungeon stuff.
Okay. Because I'd be very interested to see what your thoughts are when this game comes out, like in March, or when we get more pre-release stuff for it. Because yeah, it seems like they're doing a Zelda. What do you think about things like how they're approaching combat at the moment? Like, what they've done to like the weapon system, degradation, that kind of stuff.
So that's actually one of the complaints I would have about it, based on what I saw, is that I feel like the idea of the weapon degradation thing is an interesting idea. It forces the player to use more than just a sword, and forces you to kind of be scrappy in combat.
Mm.
And that's a cool idea. But at the same time, I feel like it seems like weapons degrade way too fucking fast.
It's like, I thought I had problems with Neo when I should play that demo. This is just like, holy shit, like a weapon lost like 1.5 fights, and that's pretty much all you got.
Yeah, it's like swing, 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 break, grab their weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm worried about like me knowing how I am. I'm going to end up with just a fucking inventory full of half-broken weapons.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if they half broken. Yeah, I guess. Yes, absolutely. Like, and then saving that like strong sword, like one hit on that strong sword. And,
yeah, like, I'll pick up two-handed hammer, and I want to save that because, you know, that might be useful on a boss. So I'm going to save that back. And oh shit, I just picked up a fucking boomerang that's almost broken. But it'd be real nice to have that range. So I'm going to toss it in my bag and carry around this stick instead. Yep. Because who gives a shit if I break the stick?
So yeah, I was talking about my problems with, like, the stack height is like 3 at the moment, and that's kind of fucked up. And like the there are things, but I think they can actually figure all of this stuff out before release. Like the stuff like durability and stack height, like those are just pure numbers they can just change in the back end, and that'll be quick.
Yeah, like it's really easy to be worried about some of these different features, but also then you have to remember, like, this game's not coming out until probably March of next year.
Exactly. Yeah. If this was like a week before it came out, I'd have actual concerns, but it's like fucking half a year till it comes out. So
yeah. Yeah, there's really no concern there. Breaking news real quick. I have Giant Bomb stream open tonight, on my other screen here, muted. Jeff Bacalar is their first guest on their show today.
Of course, that's great. Is Vinny on the couch?
No, Vinny's actually not there.
Oh, man, where's Vinny? He hasn't been on any of the shows.
In fact, Austin is the only East person on the show.
I used to love... Anyway, whatever. I have my problems with Giant Bomb right now. Not that I actually think they're doing a bad job of it or anything, but like, come on, like Vinny Caravella, come on, at least give me Vinny Caravella for fucking E3. Anyway,
I think this is the first time I've seen Jeff Bacalar's face. He looks a lot like Shinboy.
I can see a little bit of that. He's way younger looking than I thought he would look. I don't know.
Back on topic.
Anyway, what's his face? All right, so Hearts, how do you feel about health regen now?
There is no region, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's all done through... I mean, there was no region before either.
Yeah, before it was all done through finding hearts in grass and stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's
finding through thing, like, that's cool. Like, that's fine. I'm totally okay with that. Like, I like the... I imagine this, they're taking the idea of, like, you can eat it raw and it gives you a little bit of health. If you cook it, it gives you more.
Mm-hmm. And if you do a combination, if you make a recipe, it gives you overshield.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's totally awesome. Really cool. In fact, apparently there, I guess Giant Bomb was talking about it one day, and I guess there's like a cold area you can go to, like temperature matters in this game, and like there's a hot food that you can eat, and by eating hot food, it actually like insulates you from the cold.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. There's effects, and that's maybe just one of possibly many, I guess. Like, I bet there's something that lets you like swim underwater indefinitely or whatever and that kind of stuff.
Probably. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah. Cool. And then finally, what do you think of the presentation, the graphics and that kind of stuff of it?
How in the fuck are they doing that on a Wii U?
I think I was relatively impressed. Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job of it. It looks pretty nice.
They were goddamn wizards. Like, not only does it look really good, but it ran fucking smooth as butter.
I couldn't tell. Is it running at 60? I can't tell. Like, it's just over streams, right? I have no idea.
If it's not, it's somewhere between 30 and 60 and never seemed to hitch.
Yeah, definitely never seen
it. It's solid, whatever it is.
Yeah, like I've seen some, like, especially when you get some of those explosions and stuff going on, like never hitches. That's pretty good, especially for an open world game.
Yeah, and again, for them running that on a Wii U, like that's pretty impressive.
I was talking this about Squiddly yesterday. That's not being a factor. Like, I don't care what you're running it on. I just need it to look good. And they did end up making it look good. I really like what they did with. Like, the things they did to overcome some technical limitations. Like, you can tell they can't do particle effects
well. That's what I mean. Like, they clearly are very smart with the hardware they're working. I mean, granted, it's their hardware.
Yeah.
But they have managed to really figure out ways to make things look better than they probably should using the hardware they're using.
Absolutely. Like, the fire looks fantastic. And the reason that it's like that is because they couldn't do fire like Naughty Dog fire, so they figured out their own way. It looks different. It's like a cartoony kind of beautiful kind of fire effect. The same with the smoke, and the explosions look amazing. There's...
Like, fire is basically just like a like super high animation sprite.
Yeah, and it looks fantastic. Like, that's what you do, man. Like, again, doesn't matter what hardware you're on. You just need to figure it out. And they figured it out for the largest extent. Like, Kyle Bossman said it best for me. He's like, this thing's going to look great on NX, hopefully. Like, this thing might look fantastic on NX.
Well, from a report I saw, it will look exactly the same on NX.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. So, is that all? Do you have any final thoughts on Zelda before we move on to news?
I wish it was coming out sooner.
Okay.
It's awesome to see it and everything, but then it's like sad at the same time to realize, oh shit, now like that looks cool and all, but it's gonna be fucking 2017 by the time I play that game,
man.
And that's like a long ways away.
It's gonna be coming out after I actually have doubled back on my previous discussion with you. I think this does kind of have to, with how much they changed about this game and how modern they made it, this is now in the same kind of ballpark as a Horizon, and this has to do a lot for me now after looking at that game a bit more. But like, that's just me. Like, I'm a person who isn't a fan of Zelda, so Zelda by itself has no cachet to me. It has to So for me, it has to fight on that league. For people who are fans of Zelda, I'm happy for them in that they're finally getting a modern fucking awesome looking video game.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, yeah, moving on to news. So speaking of which, Duren, can you tell me what you meant by the little tidbit of, hey, it might look exactly the same on NX?
Yeah, I guess during an interview, somebody was asking, Reggie, I believe it was, they were asking general NX questions, trying to get as much information as they can. And one of the points that was brought up was the fact that, you know, Zelda's coming out on the Wii U and the NX. Like, you know, can we expect it to, you know, run, look, whatever, better on the NX? And the response was, like, it will be the exact same game on NX as it is on Wii U.
I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I don't even know what it means.
It's pretty apparent. It's pretty apparent when you look at the Wii U version, because I don't know if you saw this or if it was mentioned anywhere during the 6 hours you watched, but there's nothing of note on the Wii U gamepad. You can actually play the entire game using a pro controller.
Yeah, yeah. That actually, there's actually an interesting thing where, I forget the guy's name, I'm not a Zelda person, but the they had an interview with the dude behind that game. And he's like, yeah, we found that... He actually admitted, like, yeah, we found that the gamepad distracts you from the action, and we don't want to have that disconnect between having to look down, then back up at the screen, then back down, then back up at the screen again.
Which is hilarious coming from a Nintendo guy.
Like, holy shit. I was like, finally, someone said it out loud at their company.
Yeah, 3 years later, we figured out the flaw of our console.
5 years after starting the design on it, we were like, wait, maybe this was a bad idea. Anyway, continue on.
I mean, that was basically that. Like, you know, you see features like that where, like, they're clearly not utilizing the Wii U gamepad. In fact, it's not even necessary to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
This game is totally being built for the NX. Yeah, that said, sure. Like, it's hard to know whether, you know, whether that NX, like, what the power of the NX is based on those comments. Or if it's just, you know, maybe you look at the Wii U version, like that's worrying until you see the Wii U version running. And it's like, okay, like really, how much better does it need to look on the NX?
Dude, don't be crazy. Don't be crazy.
No, I mean, like with that art style, it doesn't really need to look any, like, what are you? Like,
oh,
like,
I could just fucking start listing off, dude. No, there is definitely ways it could look better on the NX.
But well, and I mean,
does, like, it have, okay, to is a different question entirely. Like,
well, and it all depends on you know, how far his comments are going. Like, is it going to be a higher resolution? Probably not. Is it going to be a higher frame rate? Maybe. Is it going to be, you know, more, you know, better anti-aliasing? Maybe.
I'm but just like, thinking, like, at a minimum, let's just fucking talk about textures. Like, for a goddamn second, those textures are horrible. They're like, holy. At least, hopefully, if the NX has a decent amount of VRAM, it could at least have some fucking better textures in there. At a minimum.
I saw no issues with the textures at all.
Oh, did you see him climbing up rock at any point?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of him climbing up rock.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I think if you go back and re-examine...
It was artistically done in a way, though, where, like, it's very painterly looking.
No.
Like, they're not supposed to be, like, low res. Those are supposed to be...
Duren, I'm not going to say the game looks bad, but they're, like, you have your rose-tinted glasses on right now. You need to go back and actually look at that thing, and, yeah. But, no, the other side of it is, as I said before, like, whether it has to look better on NX. It looks good. The game looks good, and that's actually all that matters right now. Like, there's definitely places it falls down, like, really flat, but... It's overall a very good looking game and a very massive.
Yeah, I think honestly, it's going to be similar to Twilight Princess. Like, right. The GameCube and Wii versions looked pretty much the same.
Yeah, right.
It's probably going to be something like that. Where, like, yes, the console is more powerful technically, but the game is. I mean, you got to remember, like, the development of this game was still Wii U first.
Yeah, it's a bit too much to ask for them to have made an entirely separate iteration of the engine just for the NX. Like, it's just going to be the same game running differently, like, or slightly better or whatever on the NX. Which brings me to what I thought you were talking about a bit later, but during a Bloomberg interview, and I think actually might be the same interview, Nintendo uttered the terrifying words, the Nintendo NX is not going to be about the specs, and they're going for a Red Ocean approach again.
No. The Red Ocean. No, you're thinking Blue Ocean. The Red Ocean was.
Everyone else is.
In the Red Ocean.
Yeah, the Red Ocean. They're in the Blue Ocean.
Hilarious.
That's right.
I thought that was a hilarious comment by Reggie.
I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah, Well, but, yeah, essentially, he was saying that they're going for everyone.
Bloody ocean, like they're going for the. Like,
I know what you're saying, but it doesn't make sense because they're both selling really well.
Well, it's just, he just means like, you know, they can fight that battle.
Absolutely,
Nintendo's going to be doing their own thing over here. That's Nintendo. Like he basically said, everything Nintendo's always been doing.
No, it's, well, everything they've been doing since the Wii, right? Not since before the Wii. Before the Wii, they were both technically and. Otherwise competitive. Now they're just going to go for the artistically and game-wise competition.
It's a comment he had to make because clearly the NX is not going to be the Scorpio.
Yeah, I think that's a fair call.
Yeah, there's no way it can fight with that. So like, that's a comment you got to make. Like, yeah. Of course we're not going to be that, but like, we're not worried about that because we're going to have the software, which is more than you can say for Microsoft.
Absolutely, it is. Holy shit! Especially with everything going to PC. Like, I don't see, but I actually really appreciate Microsoft's stance now, because Phil Spencer, he was on Giant Bomb yesterday. Holy shit, that guy, he made me like Microsoft in a way that no person at Microsoft has successfully made me do so.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically like, you know, hey, we're gonna keep selling Xbox Ones because that's our thing and that's what we do, but like I'm not really that worried about, you know, Xbox is in place for VR, PC is a place for VR.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we're gonna sell the consoles, but yeah, of course there's gonna be a time where Xbox doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah,
and that's why we're into the PC stuff and making sure we're taking care of those guys.
Exactly, and he's like, I don't see it as us trying to compete with PC at all. We're just an alternative, and PC is us too. So it's like we want to take care of both halves of this.
And it was good to hear him make the comment he made about the fact that like they're, you know, they will, you know, in the future be doing Steam releases.
Yeah,
like not everything is going to be on Microsoft Store. Now, granted, that's probably referencing third party. Like third party games will probably release on Steam, but first party will probably always be on Microsoft Store.
At least for the foreseeable future. But it's like for a fair reason. Like he's like, we need to learn things about how to put stuff out in the store. That's half the reason we're doing it, is we're doing it ourselves.
Sure. I feel like that's a fine thing to say.
Yeah.
But then in that case, offer it both places.
Yeah, sure. Like I think they want to fix UWP before anything else, right? UWP is their grand vision. And that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, especially with DirectX 12. And I could go into that, but we don't have time here. But definitely it's going to be interesting in the years coming forward what that means. But back to Nintendo though, I'm not going to give up hopes that it's going to be like PS4 League yet. I actually think it would make sense for it to be in the Neo League, because if I was them, I'd fucking please put like a GP104, like a GTX 1060 or 1050 in it. Like, come on, like NVIDIA is making. If you're gonna part with NVIDIA,
given how far along Nintendo is in their development of the NX at this point, I don't think that's probably gonna happen.
Man.
But I mean, you know, it might have something on the level of like a, you know, 900 series card.
Yeah, the crazy thing is like it's a weird thing, right? Because it's the start of a new process. We're going to 14 nanometer in graphics technology, and that's like massive cost savings. Like way smaller dies, way more chips per die. Like, sorry, way more chips per wafer, which means you can make those chips for way cheaper. And if Nintendo, like, it's going to be in the short term cheaper to get 900 series chips, but in the long term, it's way cheaper to go into the 10 series chips. And just really, I just don't know what direction Nintendo's going to go, which is kind of...
I mean, that's the thing, though, is that, like, that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why, like, the Scorpio sounds like this fucking fever dream at first, mm-hmm. but then you think about it, it's like, well, of course, I mean, that's going to be something potentially plausible by the time they release, because everything they're doing is with AMD.
Yeah.
And AMD is showing off stuff right now that is
that powerful
all around, more powerful than NVIDIA for less than half the cost.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty sure the RX 480, which we've talked about a bunch of times before, is just going to be in the Scorpio. And that's a $200 card that's 5.5 teraflops, not overclocked, and that's without even factoring in optimizations they can make in the year they have between now and then. Like it's
gonna and we already know that whatever's in there is a slightly modified.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's obvious.
So yeah, like, you know, given that, like the fact that Nintendo's going with NVIDIA, and with how far along they are in the development, I don't think it's realistic to expect something, unfortunately, on the level of like even a 1060. Just, you know, with sheer cost reasons, like Nintendo's not going to launch a $600 console.
Well, yeah,
so But with those new cards coming out, you know, maybe the 900 series is something that's affordable for them, and yeah. That'll still put out a pretty good fucking system, especially for a Nintendo console.
Well, just straight up, like a 960, say, let's just say they go for that kind of performance, will be about on par with a PS4. That's essentially all you need.
And Nintendo doesn't need 4K.
Yeah, no one needs 4K. Let's not be crazy.
I just mean, like, Nintendo's not in the market of, like, hey, you know, we're going to be an entertainment system. Right. This is where you're going to go for all your videos. So they don't need 4K for that. Nintendo can already do amazing things with 1080 on the Wii U. They don't need 4K gaming. There's absolutely no way they need 4K gaming right now.
Everyone already knows what Nintendo needs to do to win, and that's just to unify all their games on one platform. So I can get one thing and get handheld games and console games on it. And
right, which, I mean, if all the rumors are true, that seems to be what they're doing.
Yeah, if they do that, I'm sold. Like, that is a god-tier console. Like, just the amount of awesome shit. Yeah,
my NX is also my 3DS replacement. Yeah. Like, fucking sign me up.
Sign me up. Like, I just want the next 3DS. I don't want to buy a new 3DS just for Pokemon. Like, if I can get Pokemon to run, say, for example, if it runs badly on the normal 3DS, which I suspect it might, considering how other things have worked out when they're straddling that line, if I can run Pokemon, the next Pokemon game, on the NX and take that around with me and then plug into my TV when I get home, that sounds fucking awesome. That sounds fucking awesome.
Totally.
Anyway, so yeah, this is the most excited I've been about Nintendo for a long time. I'm still
what
sad.
We're saying is, like, somehow Nintendo is one of the most exciting things at E3 again.
Well, yeah, but it's
even
also,
though they,
like,
had very little there.
It's a lot of hopes. It's a lot of hopes, not necessarily the thing.
I mean, that's the thing, though. E3 is a lot of hopes and dreams, because a lot of the stuff changes so much by the time we see it.
Absolutely. Next piece of news. This is quick. There is porn shown at E3. Naughty America was there.
I saw the tweet for that.
I think that's great. I don't know, whatever.
That's totally,
we're grown-ass men, like, whatever.
VR is being embraced on all fronts.
Exactly. And, hey, you know what? Like, I don't think it would ever make it onto the consoles.
And backs. I don't know. Absolutely.
I don't think so. But it's, like, I think that gaming has grown up, and the things around it should grow up to.
So here's a question I have real quick before we move on past that. Mm-hmm. Is we know it's not going to make it on the consoles. AO stuff is that's where things go to die.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll ever make it onto the Oculus Store?
Fuck, man, I don't know. That's a good question, right? Because the Oculus Store seems to be taking all the worst things from the console stores, right? Like, it's making no goddamn sense right now as to what they're doing. Like,
it very much feels like a console store that is not curated.
Exactly,
it's curated in, like, that's why I had the question of whether porn would ever show up on there. But it's not curated in that, like, as long as it's not porn, fuck it. Throw it in there. We don't care.
Right? So I'm curious.
For your match 3, go for it.
I'm curious if they get a Pornhub app or a fucking whatever, Naughty America app on the Oculus Store. That would actually be an immediate indication of what their plans are. Because you can, I might be wrong about this, but can you have AO games on Steam at the moment? I don't think you can. I haven't seen any. I haven't seen fucking hentai on Steam. Like, I've never seen that.
I believe you can. Because
Honeypop was censored on Steam.
Going to be AO.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That's violent. They still released it. I don't know.
But now I'm not sure. I think it ended up being.
I think you can't, because Honeypop was not on. The uncensored version was not on Steam.
Oh yeah, there's tons of censored hentai, like, visual novels and dating sims.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's uncensored stuff on there. I don't know. I think people need to fucking grow up and put their big boy pants on. That said, like, I also think there needs to be legit adult, like, fucking parent controls on Steam and shit. That's important, and I think becoming more and more important.
And have AO stuff on Steam. Hatred is rated AO.
Nice.
They totally are.
Yeah, just put more parental controls in. Give parents stronger ability to fucking make sure their kids don't just sit there fapping to Hatsune Miku all day, and then be happy. Like, I want all the adult shit, because we're fucking adults now. Give us everything. Like, fucking, who cares? Next, this is an interesting one, because, like, a weird. It pointed out to me, like, how fucking weird the internet's gotten about like, especially PC versus console, like, what the fuck that is? Because apparently gamers only buy one system now. I don't get it. When the fuck, like, what, when did that happen? Like, when did it become like, oh no, if you're a real gamer, you just buy a PC? Like,
to be fair, like, I only bought the PlayStation. I didn't buy an Xbox, but that's because Microsoft made that really easy for me.
Exactly. And then putting everything on PC, like, buy the systems where the games are you want. Like, I have a Vita, I have a 3DS, I have fucking a PS4, I have a gaming PC. Like,
I mean, you also have to remember too, like, not everybody has the expendable income to buy every console.
That's like hand in hand with, like, not everyone has enough money to buy a gaming PC, right? Consoles are actually the value proposition.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yeah, there's this weird circle jerk happening right now. And this, I just want to say this is just because it confused me, right? Because at the same time, and this is across multiple forums, like, not Giant Bomb, because that tends to be like a more chilled out community, but stuff like NeoGAF and like Reddit and that kind of stuff. There was like two big threads in this E3, like throughout this E3, and it's really, really humorous to me. One of them was Andrew House saying that they're putting out the PlayStation. Sorry, there was three big threads. One was the Scorpio thread with a bunch of people saying, oh my God, 6 terabyte console. Oh, sorry, 6 teraflop console. Another one was a thread by Andrew House saying, oh yeah, we're making the Neo so we can hopefully convince more people to stay with consoles and not migrate to PC. And the final one, I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh yeah, it was the Shuhei Yoshida thread where he's like, everything on the Sony press conferences, everything shown on the Sony floor is running on an original PS4. Because you had this weird disconnect between people on one hand saying, oh yeah, we definitely need more powerful consoles and consoles are still awesome and that kind of stuff. You know, on the other hand, and people laughing at them, like PC gamers laughing at them, like, haha, consoles are weak and they're already outmoded. The 6 teraflop Xbox Scorpio is not even as powerful as a fucking 1070 right now, let alone next year when you're going to have the 1080 Ti come out and a bunch of other stuff and Vega come out and a bunch of other stuff. Then on the other hand, you have people saying it's not possible that things are running like they are on the PS4.
So here's my thoughts on some of those points. First of all, 90% of those people who are like, oh my God, 6 teraflop Scorpio, mm-hmm. Xbox for life, or what, like, 90% of those people don't know what a fucking teraflop is.
Yeah.
And like, I'm right there with them. Like, I don't understand teraflops either, but I'm also not out there telling like, hey guys, fucking teraflops, right? But also, like, on the I'll go to the final note because I'm blanking on what the second comment was on the final comment, like that, like specifically referencing the PSVR stuff, mm-hmm. Show at the conference.
Yeah,
given what we've seen that Oculus has shown, has it, of what's been made for Oculus and what's been made for HTC Vive, mm-hmm. the Resident Evil demo and the space demo that I'm forgetting the name of,
yeah, Farpoint
are some of the most impressive VR visuals,
yeah,
that I've seen.
Yeah,
and to hear that that's coming off of a standard PlayStation 4 is insane. Like, yeah. that's one place where I'm with those people. Like, the fact that that's running on a regular PlayStation is crazy.
Yeah,
I think obviously, you know, more powerful consoles are still definitely a plus. Mm-hmm. But it is comforting as somebody who owns a PlayStation 4 to, yeah, see that, like, if I go out and buy a PSVR, like, my games will look at least that good, which is already better than a fucking Oculus or HTC Vive right now on, yeah, a PC that I have that is way more powerful than that console.
It just goes, sure, hey, it's why are we acting surprised?
It goes to show that Nintendo has it right, where the fucking hardware doesn't matter. It's what you do with it.
It's what you do with it, A. And B, like, why are we acting surprised that 3 years after a console comes out, the games look better on the console? Like, well, no, what are you talking about?
It's not that that's the surprise. It's more that, like, again, like, my PC.
I'm not saying better than PC, but, like, people acted as if the first bunch of games that came out of on this generation of consoles were about as good as they could get in terms of visual prowess. And now that they're improving, they're acting shocked that on those consoles, the games are starting to look better and better and better 3 years after its release. And that makes no sense.
I'll give you that. But like when you throw the VR into it, like that's where it becomes crazy.
Oh yeah, because it looks better than some PC games. That's true.
Like Resident Evil 7 looked fucking good.
Yeah.
I'll need to play the demo. I haven't downloaded it. I want to play it tonight before I go to bed. But I based on what I saw on there, it didn't look as good as a PlayStation 4 game can look.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
I mean, definitely not as good as like an Uncharted, but like even just your standard PlayStation 4 game.
Yeah.
I would say it didn't quite even match that, but it looked better than any VR game I've seen so far.
Absolutely. I don't.
And granted, I'm throwing Eve Valkyrie and Elite Dangerous in there as well, because I do understand that drawing space skyboxes is not hard.
So like part of this is, and I definitely am starting to suspect this more and more, and people have kind of forgotten this. And we're running out of time, but I do want to say this. The PS4 is doing VR differently than other platforms are doing VR. So a lot of people are complaining about something that they're starting to notice more and more, which is a bit of blurriness on the PS4 VR. And the blurriness on the PS4 VR, I'm actually starting to suspect more and more, is actually not the screen or the AA solutions, the anti-aliasing solutions that people are using, but it's actually asynchronous time warp. So for people who don't know, the PlayStation VR can actually support three separate resolutions and frame rates. Oh, sorry, frame rates specifically. So you can either run games at 60 frames per second with asynchronous time warp, doubling it to 120. You can run it at native 90, or you can run it at native 120. So I'm actually suspecting that a lot of these games, the reason they look so good is they're not actually running 90 frames a second. They're running 60 frames a second with asynchronous time on to boost them up to 120. And that's why they look so sharp. So they're actually getting like 2 to 3 times the processing time behind each frame than an equivalent PC game would look, which is making some of them look blurry. Not all of them, because if the developer works with that process well enough and figures out their way around it, like they apparently have with Resident Evil, it could still look sharp.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of it has to do with just tweaking resolutions and finding a resolution that looks sharp enough even when that blur is caused from
async, that effect you're talking about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it's definitely interesting because those kind of tricks is again why console kind of works really well. And I'm happy on the one side because hey, people get VR at a low entry price. I'm also kind of just finding it humorous on the other side because they're essentially just cheating. Like they're not actually doing 120 frames a second or 90 frames a second. Like you know they're cheating to get there, but that's fine. Like in the end, all that matters is the final experience. And I'm happy that we'll get things that look like Resident Evil for us. But yeah, a lot of people were saying, oh my God, there's no way God of War is running on an old PS4. And that's why I brought this topic. It's like, no, it is. And that's, of course it is. Like it's coming out a year after Uncharted. What do you expect it to look like?
Yeah. Like everything else there, like totally. Like it looks amazing and it's great. It's awesome that the games on that console can look amazing, but it's even more awesome that we have games on that console.
Exactly.
But that should be the thing that people are like, oh my God, like, yes, there's finally stuff to play.
Yeah, there's finally things to play. In fact, that was one of my favorite things with Yoshida. He's like, oh no, it wasn't Yoshida, it was the head of Sony UK. He's like, yeah, we realized that we took longer to figure out this generation than we perhaps would have in the past. Like he actually admitted that it's taken them a long time to get their first party studios into fucking gear, but now we're actually finally seeing it, so that's good. 2017, 2018 should be pretty good years.
Like I was telling a friend at work, like it's, you know, they're finally starting to get games out there.
Yeah.
Now that they're putting out more hardware.
The Lost, I know, right? But hopefully that hardware will make those games look even better. The last thing we do before just our quick E3 highlights is this bit of Mass Effect news. I'm not sure if you're on the Google Doc, but I'll link it onto Skype.
Yes.
So I'm not going to go through all of it because there's a lot. But there's like really big hits on like apparently because EA doesn't know how to market their shit for shit. We found out more post the EA press conference about Mass Effect than we've ever known about Mass Effect Andromeda in the past. Like we have so much information now about it, and none of it was in that press conference, and it's just ridiculous. But anyway, the big hitters, everything you expect from the original trilogy is back, but now it's running on Frostbite, so it's going to look amazing. They're fixing Maker and a bunch of stuff like that. But there's like more interesting stuff in this, in my opinion. Stuff like they're fixing relationships. It's no longer going to be you check in with a person a bunch of times, they fall madly in love with you, you have sex before the end of the game, that's it. So they've confirmed they're going back and they're fixing that shit, making relationships and romances both more realistic and more fleshed out. Another thing is you aren't a specter and you're definitely going to be like your own kind of dude who's very different, like a fish out of the water kind of thing. Like you don't know anything about the galaxy. You're going to be learning everything alongside the main character.
You're not a specter so much as you are more like a pioneer, right?
Yeah. You're just a dude who just happens to have a bunch of alien buddies and going on an alien adventure. And there's just a bunch of other stuff, like fucking the Mako is being introduced from like the ground. Like they open, because they're starting with Frostbite, they had to essentially redesign how they do things, and they actually started putting in stuff like they planned from the start to have that Mass Effect 1 style planet exploration with the Mako. So it's going to be totally, well, hopefully, this is again obviously marketing because they're talking about their own game. It's not like people, like critics are talking about it, but like it appears as if they've fixed the Mako. And then finally, the trilogy, they call the original Mass Effect series the trilogy, like inverted commas, the trilogy. And it's really fucking confusing because I'm pretty sure this is going to be a trilogy as well. It feels like this is going to be a trilogy as well. The trilogy is just a fundamental background. So they're not going to like go through everything from base principles all over again. They're going to treat that as like background. Like that's all in the codex. That's like everything that happened in the original trilogy, like some parts of it would have overlapped with what these people remember. It's been like hundreds of years since then. But these people left hundreds of years ago. So it's like they only knew the starting of what happened in the original trilogy. And obviously things like what a Krogan is and what an Asari is are known. But like it is like that's just being treated as background. It's going to be like there's going to be very short things, but they're going to treat you as if you're not an idiot and they're going to go from scratch and just show you the new shit. And that's really cool. There's so much on here.
Yeah, like, I was just like looking through all this. Like, there's so much here.
There's so much information, like loyalty missions. They're saying a lot of really good
one thing to point out is apparently Mass Effect VR is a possibility.
That's really cool. I can see that running on PC. It wouldn't be Oculus Rift compatible because, like, I don't think you can run Mass Effect, like a Frostbite game in VR on a 970, which is the min spec for that, the enforced min spec for, Oculus, but I think on Vive, where it's just like you can do whatever cowboy mode, I can see them going, hey, fuck, you need a minimum of 1070, but you can run Mass Effect in VR. That sounds fucking sick. And that's pretty, like there's a bunch here. I'll include a link to the NeoGAF thread, which like summates all of it in the show notes. I just want to say that out loud, like Mass Effect, I'm so happy that there's some information on it and it sounds fantastic. The stuff they're putting in here sounds great. Any big takeaways for you, like from what you've read? Like, or do you have not enough time?
I mean, not really. All like it just all sounds good for the most part. Like, I'm glad to see that like the previous trilogy did exist. It does exist in the lore of it, but that they are not leaning on that because that did not go over so well.
Yeah. Apparently, you called Ryder. That's your name.
Yeah. And yeah.
The chick in at the end of that trailer is the femme Ryder.
Yeah, see, I figured that when I saw the trailer. So, yeah, but it's good to hear that at least.
It's cool, but apparently it's like they're gonna go. They have weird plans with it. Like my suspicion is they're not gonna just have like one writer in all the pre-release footage. I bet they're gonna actually switch it all up because they specifically say like they have interesting plans for how they market the main character in this Mass Effect series. So it's cool. So finally, before we round out the show, E3's over, yo. Turn.
It's all wrapped up and
one last day to go in terms of reactions, and we won't be covering them because this is the last. I can't do this every day. But it's gonna be fun to hear that. I can't wait to hear about Resident Evil from the Easy Allies crew. Anything else you want to hear more about before it closes out?
You know, there were some omissions, so things that are not at E3 that I'm hoping we hear about like after E3. There were rumors, I guess, Jeff Gerstmann's been hearing some things here and there about that Red Dead was actually going to be at Sony's Red Dead 2 was going to be at Sony's show, but because of the stuff in Orlando, they decided to hold that back.
Mm-hmm. That's probably Megaton. Like, I don't know if that's
like big fucking bummer, but yeah. At the same time, like, it makes sense. And most likely will be like a, you know, week after E3 or 2 weeks after E3.
It could also just be a rumor. Like, we don't know, man. We do not know.
Totally could be.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, I feel like it holds some value considering like leading up to E3, 2K was saying, like, hey, we're going to be there in a big way.
Yeah.
And then like they had Mafia 3 and that was kind of it.
Yeah.
So like, I think that was kind of the big plan. And then it kind of, because of, you know, the events and everything didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be real surprised if something wasn't announced by them post E3 because
we'll find out. Because the rumor says Sunday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
I didn't know the date put to it.
Exactly. I again, like, this is why I think it's all really shaky. Like, I find it really difficult to believe that the Sunday after Sunday's, E3 fucking Rockstar.
Yeah, Sunday's a weird time to fucking go and really, you know, market or, you know, unveil a game. But then again, yeah, like, this is Rockstar.
Like,
Rockstar,
and also, like, E3's over. Like, so it's not like they have anything to compete against. Like, it's not like they've, right, they're in the mix of the traffic. Like, yeah, you can definitely have stuff post E3.
All these gaming websites are going to fucking hate them. Go back into work to post this fucking story about this goddamn game that you couldn't show off 3 days sooner.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway. So, yeah. So, cool. So, I think the fun thing to do here is just, like, what are general highlights for E3? I have the top five games on my list. But, Duren, like, just, what were your highlights from E3? What were the big things you loved from E3?
I would games say for me, Resident Evil 7. And Resident Evil 7, and also, like, I'm intrigued and impressed by the fact that it was running on VR on a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, like, I'm really interested to see what they're doing with Resident Evil, especially given that they are first-personing it.
Made me crazy and like, surprised at myself. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, I'm pre-ordering PSVR. And then I went onto our Australian websites, and I forgot that, oh, wait, no, PSVR is fucking sold out everywhere.
Oh, geez, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it sold out everywhere months ago, and they haven't put
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and they've come out and said, like, you know, yeah, we're totally expecting constraints and stuff. Yeah. So
all the places I checked were like, sign up for a 2016 release of the PSVR, some shipment in 2016. Like, whoa.
Honestly, like, you know, I don't need a first generation VR headset. Like, let them figure that out.
Let's do it. Let's do this shit. I want to see Resident Evil. I want to see. Well, I'm not going to see Resident Evil. Don't be crazy. But I'm going to import some lesson because that was announced to not be coming to the West, and I cried. I cried on the inside. But I'll import about that. Summer Lesson is not coming to the West because
Summer Lesson. I don't know what that is.
Shut up.
What is Summer Lesson?
It's that one where you're a dude and you're just you're teaching this chick how to speak Japanese.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Of course you would. Yeah. Of course you would import that.
It's made
one by
the guy who made Tekken. I can't wait. I'm going to import this.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's great. Wow, I would have guessed Dead or Alive, if anything. But yeah, anyway, Resident Evil, I'm totally looking forward to. I'm a big Resident Evil fan.
Mm-hmm.
I am such a big Resident Evil fan that I played through all of 6.
Wow. Jeez, that's friend. Some fucking
we
commitment.
A friend and I streamed our entire, we played through every campaign except for Ada's. So 3 full campaigns. It was over 30 hours of gameplay. God, that game was so bad. But yeah, no, I played every major Resident Evil game, and I've been excited at their talks of going back to the horror roots. Apparently, mm-hmm. I guess real quickly, one thing that they said in an interview is that, like, their idea here going forward is the reason why whatever the fuck that third person shooter thing that's coming out at like $40 or $30, whatever it is, mm-hmm. not Operation Raccoon City, but that thing kind of like it. The reason that exists at all is basically that they've gone with this idea essentially of having, they've split the Resident Evil games where they're going to have their action games that are all their side stuff,
right?
But their main numbered games are all going to be the horror games.
That's really cool. That's a good move from them, by the sounds of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but it's comforting to know that even if they miss the mark with 7, that as long as they stick by their guns and continue what he said, that 8 is still going to be a horror game.
Yeah, I hope that's the case for people who are fans. Like, I could never play those because they terrify the shit out of me. But yeah,
well, I'll have impressions of the demo next time we record for sure.
Awesome, yeah.
But aside from that, God of War looks awesome.
Fuck yeah.
I'm so excited to see them fucking reinvent the wheel with that one.
I put up a poll. I put up a poll for God of War on giantbomb.com. I was literally just like a quick poll of like, oh, do you like the new direction of God of War? Let me see if I can open it now. It's staying up as like one of the most popular topics through the last couple of days. 320 votes, 78% said yes. They just straight up, they love the new direction of the God of War. 5% said no. So like almost no one actually dislikes it. And then 15% are undecided. So, and 3% are like other, but yeah. So 15% undecided, 5 no.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. I'm so
happy. Like the new direction is awesome. Like if they were going to make another God of War, they needed to change things up. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a good direction to go.
Yeah. I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. What else? What are you looking for?
Of course, Horizon. Oh, yeah, Horizon looks amazing. I fucking can't wait to play that game.
I can't play it. Yeah.
That one's big.
They did things in that game that's like you, like other people would make that a bullet point on their box. Like it's just like, oh yeah, of course we have destructible buildings and environments. Oh yeah, of course we have fucking 100 animations per fucking enemy. Like other games are like built around those things, and they're just like fucking like not even talked about during the
first one. They're just like, yeah, no, that's just standard feature.
Yeah, it's a standard feature.
Like, no, the big things are like, guys, we have fucking robot dinosaurs. You see this? You see the robot dinosaur?
Have you seen this fucking shit?
You can ride it.
Anyway, yeah.
That game looks super fucking cool. Obviously, Zelda is fucking way up there. I cannot fucking wait to play Zelda.
Yeah.
I can't pick a top five.
Right. It took me a long time. It took me a long time.
So I'll just kind of quick fire these next ones that are just ones like I am so fucking excited about. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to play Last Guardian, finally.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to find out what the fuck Death Stranding is in 2018 when we finally see gameplay.
2018? Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll see gameplay.
Kojima's already said, like, that game is not at all close to, like, it's a ways, ways off.
Oh, yeah. He also said apparently it's going to be an action game. It's not going to be like PT. He clarified.
I was listening to something and they were talking about that actually, and there were some interesting theories apparently about Death Stranding and that trailer and what it means to Kojima and some Konami references.
Yeah, it might not be like that fetus might not be about the game at all. Like that could be about like Konami.
It could be about his ties to Konami and cutting ties and the fetus being the Metal Gear franchise and Konami taking it from him. Yeah,
or it could be PC. It could be all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it could be totally PT. Yeah, that's true. I forgot there was a fucking fetus in PT.
Yeah.
But like hearing all that, I was like, fuck, like that all lines up like shit. And that is a Kojima ass thing to do.
Surprise. Kojima makes amazing trailers.
and honestly, like I'm super excited about an Insomniac Spider-Man game.
I don't even understand. I can see the excitement in people's faces and I'm happy for the people who are excited. I just don't get it. Like
I'm excited about it because like I remember back in the old days when there was this little game called Spider-Man 2.
Right.
And it was the last good Spider-Man game, and that game was a fucking blast.
Right.
And it's been kind of nothing but shit Spider-Man game since then.
Mm-hmm.
So to see Spider-Man in the hands of a competent developer, like Spider-Man can be such an awesome game, especially now in this world of open world games that we have.
Yeah.
Spider-Man could be such a fucking awesome game if it's just handled by the right people. And clearly, Beenox is not the right people, but Insomniac is.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm super, super stoked about them being able to make this game. Hopefully, it turns out good. Obviously, we don't know. It's still. Nobody's made a good Spider-Man game in a long time, but you know nobody had made a good Batman game in a long time, and then Rocksteady came along.
I do see the definite like. There is reason to put faith in Insomniac. Like, I'm not a massive fan of them personally, but I know they can do good work. They can do good work.
But that was the big thing. Like, it wasn't that there was a new Spider-Man game. It was specifically like it is a Spider-Man game being made by those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Or more importantly, being made by a developer that has some chops.
Man.
Which is again more than I can say for a Spider-Man game in a very, very, very long time.
So I was able to finally fucking knock together a top five, and it was just purely based on like of the games shown, what was I the most sold on? Like, what's the most I'm likely to actually purchase with my real goddamn money in the next couple of years. Like, I know obviously I will buy whatever Death Stranding turns out to be, but we have no fucking idea what that
like. Yeah, it's way too far off. Yeah.
So my top five were at number five, South Park. I'm absolutely going to buy that. There's no way you can stop me from buying a send up of fucking comic book movies. That sounds great.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to play that one.
Holy shit. Infinite Warfare is the first Call of Duty I have ever been interested in my whole life. And that has to count for something. For Honor, unless that game is terrible, I'm sold. I just like dumb. Fuck it. Just people who just say fuck history. Let's just fucking go.
I can't figure out with that. Like, is there some kind of persistence to it, or is it basically just an arena fighter?
The single player is a single player, but the arena fire part to it, we don't know. We know it's like,
okay, so there is some kind of a campaign that is more than just fighting dudes.
That's why I'm excited. This E3, okay, they announced the campaign. It's like a full-on campaign. They showed you as a Viking storming Japan. It makes no sense. I'm so excited. Oh, it looks sick.
That sounds pretty good.
And then obviously Horizon, God of War. We already talked about Horizon. God of War, the thing I wanted to say was, and the thing that most impressed me, aside from all the other cool things they're doing, this one thing blew my fucking mind. It was, and I didn't even notice it. There's something about the previous footage that we saw, and I couldn't put my finger on it the whole time. Something that made it feel really kinetic and feel really personal. Like, even though the fight in it was far smaller than many God of War fights, it still had that God of War like feel. Like, there's something like, oh yeah, you can when fucking Kratos goes into fucking Spartan rage mode, you fucking feel it for some reason. And of course, part of it has to do with the orchestra, but the actual thing I think it was is something that they're doing that hasn't been done in a video game before, in my knowledge. Fucking God of War is going to be from start to end, from opening credits to closing credits, one continuous shot. No cutaways, no leaps forward in time, no fucking like loading screens, nothing. Every frame of that game is going to progress to every other frame of that game from start to
finish. Wait, do we know that for a fact? Or?
We know that for a fact. It's Corey Barlog said it on
multiple
interviews. Yep. Wow. Every frame. It's going to be a people said that, like, okay, let's be real here. I'm not going to say this is the equivalent to this, but the reason Citizen Kane is actually lauded as one of the greatest games, movies of all time, is because of what they did to actual camera work. They did long shots and a bunch moving shots and a bunch of stuff. Like, they did stuff with camera work that's different. I'm not saying this is that again. What I'm saying is, I find this impressive in the same way that those find that impressive, because it's one thing to have a video game that has cutscenes and fucking David Cage-esque, or, oh, you're cutting between characters and you're having up close, in-depth look at people's eyes while they say one scene. Like, The Last of Us is amazing because of that final scene, right? You have that cut between Ellie and Joel.
I don't know, I haven't actually finished it yet.
he has amazing conversations in that game, but that's because you're cutting between characters and stuff. Realizing that that whole gameplay segment we saw was without cuts, and you still got all the emotion of the final scene of him helping his son finish his kill, and then the sweep around and the dragon, the fact that they did all that without cutting, that's what I couldn't put my finger on. That's what was different about that footage that I'd never seen before. That's what I was like, there's something about this that feels so kinetic. Like, that is why, and I'm so excited. I cannot wait to fucking try that.
Knowing that now, that makes that game even more impressive.
And apparently you can throw the axe at the start of the game and then summon it at the end of the game, and because it's a persistent object, it'll take time to
Yep. That is oh my fucking god.
Oh, fuck you, Corey Barlog. I've missed you so much since God of War 2. Oh man. You left and now you're back, and it feels like you're back, and it's great.
That's great.
So yeah, that's it. I have so many other games I'm interested in, but yeah, we've talked about them over the last couple of days. So E3, man.
Real quick before we go out, because I was just kind of glancing through your list of games you will likely buy from E3 2016. Mm-hmm. And I recognize everything here. We've pretty much talked about everything here.
Yeah.
But maybe this came up during the PC gaming thing and I just wasn't here for that. But what is The Surge?
The Surge is, I don't know if you were here for that, but The Surge is the new game by the guys who made Lords of the Fallen.
Oh, okay, that's that sci-fi.
The sci-fi Dark Souls game. Yeah, fuck, okay. Yes.
That's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear.
Yep, that's all I needed to hear. It was like, I was bored as fuck to this PC game show, and they were like, oh, it's a new game by the guys who made Lords of the Fallen. It's set in the sci-fi universe. And I just started fucking shouting at the top of my lungs, and it's exactly what I want it to look like. It's just fucking sci-fi Dark Souls. I'm sold.
Okay, I'll have to go watch the trailer for that.
Yeah, it's sick.
Yeah, but that's E3. That's E3. It was, you know, for being the ghost hall that apparently was this year, there were still a lot of highlights.
For us at home, it was one of the best E3s I've been to. Yeah. Like, here at home, it's one of the best E3s I've seen, like, by far.
So real quick, before we go ahead and sign off here, because I know you want to get to your show you were wanting to see.
Oh, it starts in 40 minutes. I've got time. What's up?
Okay. But real quick, what is one game that was not shown at E3 that you wish they would have shown? You were looking for something to see on it, and it just didn't make an appearance.
I need to think of that for a second. Because P5 was actually shown. Like, Persona 5 was actually shown.
They actually gave a date for it.
Yeah, they gave a date, and they have like a little like a 15-minute on stage demo. I would say probably Final Fantasy VII.
That's exactly where I was going to go to. I was really hoping to see some gameplay beyond these short little tiny snippets we got before.
I was hoping to get a better idea of where Final Fantasy VII 1 will end.
Right. Yeah. That's like an idea. Like, okay, we're going to have it go from here to here, or like just a general, like, you know, ends roughly at the end of disc one or something. Yes. Or give me a town, like, or more like, this is, you know, from the original game, this is the last story beat that you'll see. Absolutely. But there's maybe some other stuff that happens after that that wasn't in the game.
Yeah, and you don't have to make it
so a PowerPoint. So they're not ruining the ending to their game or whatever.
Like the my favorite version of like the fanfics of what that trailer could have been was that they show like a bunch of footage, but it would all be from Midgar, and there'd be like one shot of like something from past Midgar to give you an idea. Midgar.
Yeah, like the fucking trailer ends with Calm.
Yeah. So pick something that's not Midgar, and I'm happy. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Like, for me, the trailer would end with Sephiroth doing something sick. But yeah, obviously we don't know.
It'd be in the typical Japanese fashion where Sephiroth does something sick. It shows Final Fantasy VII's logo.
Yeah.
Goes black. And then there's just this short, like, snippet of them, like, walking into Calm. Goes black, 2017.
Yeah, 2017. That would be, maybe TGS. Like, I just realized that.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense because, like, they didn't show Final Fantasy VII this time around, but they did show Kingdom Hearts 3.
Did they?
It was just 2.8.
They showed a lot of 2.8. Apparently 2.8 is really good.
They talked about 3. I do remember they talked about 3. There was some news stories, like the fact that there are going to be no Final Fantasy worlds in 3.
You know what surprised me of the show? And I don't have this list, but World of Final Fantasy could be pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems kind of like them doing Crystal Chronicles right.
It seems, and I don't use this word often, but I picked it up from Easy Allies. It seems jolly as fuck. Like, just jolly. Like, I just fucking seeing adorable little Cloud talking to adorable little fucking Squall. Like, yeah, okay, you got me. You got me for a second here. You got my attention. I don't know if I'll buy it, but you got my attention.
Yeah, exactly. That 7... TGS makes sense. Totally, like, you know, maybe that's what they do. Like, you know, TGS happens after 15 has released, I believe.
Yeah.
Because it's October and when TGS usually hits.
I think so. And that's also the rumored time for PS Neo. So I'd say either be TGS or...
Neo has a date. It's October.
Oh, sick. So that'd be perfect. Like,
I'm getting Morpheus. God damn it. Wrong.
Oh, right. No,
fucking Matrix character.
No, I was going to say, like, so Neo, it would be perfect if it was either TGS or Gamescom when it's like, and it's out next week or it's now in 2 weeks, right? It would make sense if they do one.
Neo, I think, is going to be, Neo has been pushed back, I think, internally. I think Microsoft announced their stuff and how powerful it actually is, I think that's one of the reasons why, Sony did not say anything about Neo at their conference. I think they are going back and trying to get as close to whatever the fuck that 6 teraflops is.
Yeah.
Before they do an official, like, hey, this is what this is. This is what the specs are.
I think that's a smart move.
They're probably not too happy with Microsoft being able to come out and say it's going to be the most powerful game console out there
ever. Yeah, that's a smart move because they're both getting shit from AMD. So when they heard that, they must have been, well, why don't we just get that?
They'd be like, hey, why the fuck? What's going on? Why aren't you giving us the same deal? Exactly.
In the end, we win. Like, I don't care which of them comes out with the most powerful console.
In the end, we win. And honestly, like, if it means the Neo's pushed back a little further, that's probably totally fine too.
Considering Horizon plays and looks like that on the normal PS4, fucking sure. I do whatever you want, man. The only game I'm worried about when it comes to performance is fucking Final Fantasy 15 of all fucking things.
Apparently, Jeff was saying he saw that at E3 this year, and he said that every time he sees it, it's looking better and better.
Okay, good. Because the Easy Allies played it, and they were like, that thing was a fucking slideshow during actual combat. Because they played the first 90 minutes of the game. Mm. But that was 2 weeks ago. It was a fresh build during the Judges Week. It was a fresh build from Japan, and they're like, that thing was fucking rough. So hopefully it was rough during the Microsoft press conference as well. That thing was running framey. Apparently, it wasn't accepting dodge. Like, it was so framey that he couldn't dodge. And that's why it was like apparently a really easy, like, 5 minute fight, a 2 minute fight, but it spread out to like 5 minutes because the main character died on stage. Like, fuck me. It was
wow,
rough.
I completely missed that part, I guess. Wow.
He didn't like overtly die. He just got reduced to 0 HP and his teammate healed him.
Okay.
But if you watch it, it's like, wow, it's framey and this is rough. And he couldn't dodge properly. It was just all over the place. So I'm worried about that. But everything else, like, all the first party stuff from Sony, I know that'll run fine. And so bring on Neo whenever you want to bring on Neo. I can wait.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. But with that, yeah, I think that's the show.
That's E3. That's our last podcast. I don't know when I'm going to get this up. I'm going to try to get it up today. But obviously, if you're hearing this, I got it up whenever I got it up. So it doesn't really help you at all.
You know what? When you're hearing this, we got it up today.
Yeah, we got it up today. So anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. Durin, was this E3 better than last year's E3?
No.
I agree.
It was still real solid.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't as good as last, but I think it's actually probably my third favorite E3 of all time. That's pretty cool. It was really good.
It was pretty good. I mean, again, like, with how much was pulled out of E3 and how empty everything seemed to be there based on reports we were hearing.
Yeah,
it was good to see there was still plenty of game to be shown.
Yeah,
and plenty of surprises. Actually, mm-hmm. with everything that leaked out, there was still plenty of surprises.
Oh man, and I didn't even say this. God of War is supposedly the reason Sony's not giving dates to things is they want to stop giving dates to things because they know that they're starting to be known for pushing games back. Because now they're taking the stance as a first party developer to go, this will be done when it's done. They're taking that stance now, which is perfect, which is what we want. Everyone wants them to do. Like, everyone wants games to be finished when they're released. But because of that, they're no longer going to start putting dates on things, which is why we have no idea when God of War is coming. We have no idea when
it's going to come. I agree. I want games to be finished when they're released, but at the same time, I'd much rather them take the stance of
a window or something.
We're gonna show it off now, and it's out in 6 months.
Oh yeah, that could be cool, I guess. But
like, I would much rather that over not getting a date, and it shows up at 3 E3s in a row,
right?
And then finally, 2 months before it launches, they give it a date.
I don't mind that anymore. Like, I don't think every game should be like that. Like, for only games that are of the caliber of a fucking Uncharted, will I accept that from? Or Final Fantasy? Like, I will accept Final Fantasy taking fucking 5 years to and being at 5 E3s. Fine. Like, I can deal with that. If it's something like Days Gone, then no. Like, I can't. I just think. That's
I guess it's just I don't want a No Man's Sky situation anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't want this game announced like 3+ years before it's going to come out,
right,
and it's showing up everywhere, and then it gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. Like, just wait until you know it's solid. You're fairly confident it's going to release in the next 6 months, and then announce it. Because if nothing else, if you announce your date, then if you push it back once, it's probably going to be fine.
For me, if
you announce a date that's a year off, you're too far off.
I think you're the majority, but for me, I'm definitely a person who's like, no, I actually want to know that my investment that I make is going to be worthwhile 3 years from now. Like, I know that many of the games you announce now are only going to be 2018 games. I'm fine with that because I've got plenty of games to play between now and then. But knowing that there will be a game coming at some point that I really will like, that means something to me.
Yeah, I guess part of it for me too is I'm tired of this. I'm tired of knowing everything there is to know about a game before it ever comes out.
True. That's fucking
There's no surprises
so true.
In games anymore.
Yeah. The fact that we know fucking nothing about The Last Guardian is awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. It's fucking cool.
Like all I need to know about that game is it's by the Eco guys, and that when it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
And that's all I care. I'll play it. It looks super interesting based on the very short trailers they've shown.
Yeah.
But I have no fucking idea how that game plays. What, like, nothing. No fucking nothing about that game.
Horizon Zero Dawn is one demo away from me knowing too much about that game.
At this point, I'm done looking at it.
Yeah, I'm going media blackout. Media blackout. Don't need to know fucking anything. Just give me the game when it's out. And thankfully, it's just got a release date. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've been stretching this out. We've been trying to close the show for a while. I'm going to close the show. Thank you for listening, people at home. We're going to go off and do last day of E3 watching business stuff. Bye.